أَمْثَالَكُمْ وَنُنشِئَكُمْ فِي مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمُ النَّشْأَةَ الْأُولَى فَلَوْلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَحْرُثُونَ أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون لو نشاء لجعلناه حطاما فظلتم تفكهون إنا لمغرمون بل نحن محرومون أفرأيتم الماء الذي تشربون أأنتم أنزلتموه من المزن أم نحن المنزلون لو نشاء جعلناه أجاجا فلولا تشكرون أفرأيتم النار التي تورون أأنتم أنشأتم شجرتها أم نحن المنشئون نحن جعلناها تذكرة ومتاعا للمقوين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم إن هذا لهو حق اليقين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان
الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة. إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا. وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة. وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة. والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون. في جنات النعيم. ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين. على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين. يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون. بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين. لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون. وفاكهة مما يتخيرون.
بسم الله بسم الله بسم الله بسم الله. أفلح من صلى على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Brothers and sisters, respected Sayyid Ali Jafari, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And it's my honor to welcome everybody here tonight on this Friday evening to commemorate one of the legendary and great martyrs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Shaheed Malcolm X. Inshallah, to begin the commemoration, I'd like to welcome our dear brother Ali Hamdani to come and recite from the Holy Quran with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد خلقنا الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد. إذ يتلقى المتلقيان عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد. ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. ولقد خلقنا الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد إذ يتلقى المتلقيان عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تهيب ونفخ في الصور ذلك يوم الوعيد وجاءت كل نفس مع سائق وشهيد لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم هديد وقال قرينه هذا ما لدي عتيد ألقي في جهنم كل كفار عنيد مناع للخير معتد مريب الذي جعل مع إله آخر فألقي في عذاب شديد قال قرينه ربنا ما أطغيته ولكن كنوا في ضلال بعيد قال لا تختصموا لدي وقد قدمت إليكم بالوعيد صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد
أفلح من أعاد الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد Brothers and sisters, once again, assalamu alaikum, and thank you for coming out for this very, very special day and this very special commemoration. So for those of us who maybe are a little bit less familiar with Shaheed Malcolm X, the best place to start would be to definitely go and read the autobiography of Malcolm X as told to Alex Haley. And then if anybody was to just go on YouTube and just put, you know, Malcolm X speeches and just listen to the words of this truly incredible man, and there's really hardly an individual who has read the autobiography or who has studied the life of this man who hasn't been profoundly impacted. And in fact, many individuals converted to Islam simply by reading his autobiography. Inshallah, to kind of give a little bit of a summary or an overview of his life, we're going to watch a video clip for just a few minutes that will kind of go through some of the major stages of his life. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Born Malcolm Little on May 19, 1925 in Omaha, USA. He later became known as Malcolm X and was one of the most important African-American Muslim leaders in history. His life was shaped by the deeply racist society he was born into. Growing up, he and his family were forced to move frequently due to threats from white supremacist groups. At age 4, his house was burned to the ground, and at age 6, his father, a Baptist minister and activist, was found dead under suspicious circumstances. It was widely believed he was killed by a splinter group of the KKK. A few years later, his struggling mother was sent to a mental institution, and her children were sent to different foster homes and orphanages. In school, Malcolm was the brightest in his class and was voted class president, but his dreams of becoming a lawyer were crushed when his teacher told him it wasn't realistic for someone like him. Soon after, he dropped out of school. By age 20, Malcolm had been sentenced to 10 years in prison for robbery after turning to a life of crime. In prison, he was given the nickname Satan because he would curse the Bible and religion, but he would soon start learning about religion from his brother, Reginald, who had joined the Nation of Islam. Malcolm decided to write to the leader of the nation, Elijah Muhammad, but found it difficult as he dropped out from formal education long ago. This is when he started to memorize the dictionary and read anything he could get his hands on. Before long, he was actively calling people to the Nation of Islam and would attend the prison's debate club where he realized he had a talent for public speaking. After 6 years in prison, he was paroled and went to live with his brother Wilfred. He started praying regularly and would often visit the nation's temple. By this point, he changed his last name from Little to X.
The last name of my forefathers was taken from them when they were brought to America and made slaves. And then the name of the slave master was given, which we refuse, we reject that name today.
Since writing to him in prison, he became close to the nation's leader and would be sent to different cities to preach. Eventually, he became a national spokesperson, talked at universities, and was given airtime on radio and television, where he called for the separation of white and black people in America.
You don't integrate with a sinking ship. You don't do anything to further your stay aboard a ship that you see is on its way down to the bottom of the ocean. Complete separation is the only solution to the black and white problem in this country.
Malcolm X was taught that the white race was inherently evil, a belief that was about to be challenged when he left the nation and soon after travelled to Mecca to perform pilgrimage in 1964, where he converted to Sunni Islam.
I'm against any form of segregation and against racism. I'm a Muslim. I believe in the religion of Islam, which believes in brotherhood, complete brotherhood of all people.
While abroad, he secured scholarships for African Americans to study at Al-Azhar University, where he also obtained his ijazah to perform da'wah in the United States. And after his return to America, the Sudanese Sheikh Ahmed Hassoun, who'd been a scholar in Mecca for 35 years, joined him to teach him the foundations of Islam. In Harlem, he was referred to as Moses because of his Sudanese clothing and walking stick. He was with Malcolm X for the last year of his life.
Tonight, for one, will join in with anyone, don't care what color you are, as long as you want to change this miserable condition that exists on this earth. Thank you.
After his conversion, he remained a champion of human rights for all African Americans, no matter what their religion was. He set up the Organization of Afro-American Unity and continued to preach for black people to do whatever necessary to achieve equality. He disagreed with the non-violent methods of the civil rights movement of the time.
I don't in any way encourage black people to go out and initiate acts of aggression indiscriminately against whites. But I do believe that the black man in the United States and any human being, anywhere, is well within his right to do whatever is necessary, by any means necessary, to protect his life and property.
On February 21st, 1965, Malcolm X was assassinated while delivering a speech. In his final year, many attempts had been made on his life, but he defiantly continued to travel the country to spread his message despite the risk. Over 1,500 people attended his funeral.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Inshallah, before we continue on, I just wanted to share an interesting excerpt from the autobiography of Malcolm X. And this is an experience that he relates after going to Mecca and performing the Hajj, and he was at this time in Lebanon, in Beirut, and he narrates a little bit of his experience. So the quote begins, "I saw clearly the obvious European influence upon the Lebanese culture. It showed me how any country's moral strength or its moral weakness is quickly measurable by the street attire and attitude of its women, especially its young women. Wherever the spiritual values have been submerged, if not destroyed, by an emphasis upon the material things, invariably the women reflect it," end quote. I just wanted to mention that the hijab is an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been conferred upon the Islamic Ummah and that is being carried by our dear sisters. And this moral strength of our Ummah is under attack, whether in India or in France or in Germany or in Belgium or anywhere else across the world. And we do see that many people are coming to the defense of hijab with statements such as, "No one can decide what a woman can wear or cannot wear except for her." And while these statements seem to be in defense of Islam, what they are actually defending is secular liberalism. And these statements are not promoting tawheed, but rather they are promoting just another form of shirk, which is the worship of the self and the worship of the ego. But ultimately, Islam is submission. So it's not about what I want or what you want or what a man wants or what a woman wants, but rather it's about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And in the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our honor and our dignity and our salvation in this world and in the next. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tawfiq to be able to defend this great honor of Islam. And inshallah with that, we'll welcome our dear sister Fatima Najdi to recite some poetry for us with a salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. My sincerest condolences on the anniversary of the martyrdom of Shaheed Malcolm X, as well as, of course, our dear beloved Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Qadhim alayhi salam. If we can begin with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, this is a short poem. It does quote a few quotes from the Shaheed Malcolm X. If you're familiar with his quotes, then you'll recognize them instantly. But I don't always introduce it, so if it's a powerful line, it's likely from him. If we can begin with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. The hour is near and the truth is clear. For whoever wants to see, come with me. We'll take heed of Malcolm X when he said, truth does not change, only our awareness of it. Whatever you don't know, it's time to come to know. It's time for clarity, we are already late. The hour is near and we should reserve our mercy because there's no time for hesitation or complacency. If it's racism we are fighting, we'll keep fighting. If it's occupation we're boycotting, we'll keep boycotting. If it's war we are protesting, we will keep protesting. Because if you want something, you better make some noise. So who taught you to sit idly and accept whatever scraps you were given? At the very least, deploy your mind and the news inspect. If you're not careful, they'll have you hating the oppressed. The truth has always been clear for the seeker, and we've sought. We know it well. It isn't nuanced. It isn't complicated. As he said, I don't see any American dream, only an American nightmare. The hour is near, and those who see it will not surrender. The right to defense is always on the side of the oppressed. It is God-given, God-protected, so we will keep marching on this path, the path of resistance. It is our right to defend ourselves against the satanic, the arrogant, the oppressive, the lustful, the hypocritical. We will take our measures and they will take theirs, but time is on our side, and when we clash, the earth will finally know justice. My peace is not only in my own freedom, but all those who have been fighting for it. God has gifted us a life to be lived. God has gifted us a life to be lived, but we need to wake up and stay awake if it will ever mean anything. So don't continue sleeping on the centuries of bloodshed that came before you and the hundreds of thousands of lives that are still stolen with no repercussions. Life is a prison if you're asleep. Life is a prison if you're asleep, and a battlefield if you're awake. The hour is near, and only one of these paths will lead to victory. So do not take your time. Be ready, for the truth be thirsty. A new world order is in the making, and to have a place in it, we should be preparing. By history alone, we are outraged. If we are sincere, then we cannot be disengaged. Whether it is you or your black brother, hijab-wearing sister, Palestinian, Yemeni, Afghani, Kashmiri, it is you who still, always, unapologetically, deliberately must resist, resist, resist by any means necessary. So what do you still need to learn? What are you waiting to know? The hour has come. Have you made your decision? The hour has come. The hour has come. Which side have you chosen? Which side have you chosen? Wassalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
أفلح من أعاد الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. Just a quick request from all the brothers, inshallah, if everybody can please move up a couple of rows and just fill up all of the chairs in front of you. And also I would like to apologize on behalf of the Light of Guidance and the organizers if there is any mess or dust or anything like that anywhere around the building. We are, alhamdulillah, doing some renovations. So I'll share one last passage from the autobiography of Malcolm X again, that inshallah will lead into our next video. So as mentioned in the biographical video in the beginning, the young Shaheed Malcolm X was just about 20 years old when he, when his life of crime culminated in his being sentenced to prison, where he was given the nickname Satan. And so he really descended to some of the deepest depths of misguidance, but the fitra and the nur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in every single one of us was not extinguished within him. And so after he goes into a lot of the details of his criminal past, he mentions, quote, "I want to say before I go on that I have never previously told anyone my sordid past in detail. I haven't done it now to sound as though I might be proud of how bad, how evil I was. But people are always speculating, why am I as I am? To understand that of any person, his whole life from birth must be reviewed. All of our experiences fuse into our personality. Everything that ever happened to us is an ingredient. Today, when everything that I do has an urgency, I would not spend 1 hour in the preparation of a book which had the ambition to perhaps titillate some readers. But I am spending many hours because the full story is the best way that I know to have it seen and understood, that I sunk to the very bottom of the American white man's society when, soon now in prison, I found Allah and the religion of Islam, and it completely transformed my life," end quote. Inshallah, with that, we will hear directly from Shaheed Malcolm X himself about the necessity for the country of America and the American society to really study the blessed religion of Islam. And inshallah, after that, directly, our dear brother Hassan Salami will also join us to recite some poetry for the occasion. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Malcolm, on your trip abroad, you said you sensed a feeling of great brotherhood.
While I was at Mecca making the pilgrimage, I spoke about the brotherhood that existed at all levels and among all people who were there on that Hajj, who had accepted the religion of Islam. And I pointed out that for what it had done, what the religion of Islam had done for those people over there, despite their complexion differences, that it would probably do America well to study the religion of Islam, and perhaps it could drive some of the racism from this society as it has driven racism from the Muslim society. When I was on the pilgrimage, I had close contact with Muslims whose skin would in America be classified as white, and with Muslims who themselves would be classified as white in America. But these particular Muslims didn't call themselves white. They looked upon themselves as human beings, as part of the human family, and therefore they looked upon all other segments of the human family as part of that same family. Well, now, they had a different look or a different air or a different attitude than that which is reflected in the attitude of the man in America who calls himself white. So I said that if Islam had done that for them, perhaps if the white man in America would study Islam, perhaps it could do the same thing for him.
My dear brothers and sisters, respected Sayyid, it is an honor and a blessing to be here to talk about the Shaheed of Islam, Al-Hajj Malcolm al-Shabazz, who, for many of us who know the story of Karbala, know the story of a man named Hur. Sometimes it might be hard to imagine, but in our modern time you can see a man like Malcolm X, who, to build off of the comment of my brother Tariq, who stated that Malcolm was at the lowest point in his life and was able to return and leave this world as a shaheed, recognized by even the likes of Sayyid Ali Khamenei as a shaheed. And we see that no matter where we are on the spectrum, inshallah, when we have a sincere intention, I'm speaking to myself first, that we can transcend towards the Almighty as long as we cling on to Him and let go of all of our fear, our shortcomings, and strive for His pleasure. Please provide a loud salawat ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, this poem also reflects that trajectory in which, as Malcolm was always learning, even throughout his journey, many different steps along his journey, he was constantly elevating to a different plateau. So inshallah, wherever he stopped, inshallah, we can all continue and learn that within ourselves, no matter where we are, we always ascend further. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One of the most iconic things of Malcolm was his glasses with horn tips. But sharper was the sword sheathed between his lips, that when released was a weapon that would slice and split, cutting through hundreds of years of slavery and slashing whips, twisting and cracking in slave ships. Whips twisting and cracking in slave ships, enslaving their descendants through CIA, shipped crack, an attack more dangerous than chains. Enslavement in syringe, punctured veins flowing to colonized, bleached brains, playing in reverse, projecting like a movie on each lens of Malcolm's horned frames. A reminder of the Satan he tamed when he recognized that conquering oppression doesn't start outside but within. Alcohol, drugs, and materialism were worse than any prison, and he recognized that the enemies of truth weaponize and are themselves infected by sin, and the devils know that attachment to the divine is greater than politics of color of skin, and it can unite the world under the banner of one. And that is why Malcolm stated, after he sat beneath the Meccan sun, true Islam removes racism. because people of all colors and races who accept its religious principles and bow down to the one God, Allah, also automatically accept each other as brothers and sisters, regardless of differences in complexion. And what Malcolm could do in a way of truly remarkable introspection was to connect the dots and read between the lines. And to continue in this path, we are so obliged. To recognize that what began as a war of an arrogant versus oppressed race has become a war of the heart that beats within your chest, the minds and soul for all people, and it is no longer just about being racially unequal. The sequel is a war over the soul, a war of spiritual control, and actually, that was always their goal. For Satan's first step was to be arrogant before God, and when his arrogance was identified, he moved to step two, waging war against every human being, including you. Regardless of color, race, or place, a war of the followers of the prophets and the followers of Satan, the disgraced. A matrix-like system that seeks to make humankind live in misery, spiritually, economically, and socio-politically. Where the arrogant and elite make the rules. Where Satan tries to make men and women in his image, to keep the rest of us imprisoned, to glorify oppressors and demonize the oppressed, to divide me and you, to prevent us from understanding the truth, which is why they killed Malcolm when he knew. That racism is just a symptom of a much larger satanic disease. And the only cure comes when the world bows to its knees before the one creator of the heavens, earth, and everything in between. For that is the true meaning of Islam. And that is why they have waged war on it and hijacked. So they could hide the tracks leading back to the truth. There is no such thing as separate religions and separate identities of Muslim, Christian, or Jew. There is one continuation from Adam to the last prophet the world knew, Muhammad. This is one continuation from Adam to the last prophet the world knew, Muhammad, who would come to complete everything Adam, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus came to do, even if their followers deviated to create the divisions and sects within us, obstacles to the unfettered truth. But God is always there to never let the truth remain unhidden. Sometimes it just takes us to make the journey to begin, and He will clear our vision. And when Malcolm returned from Hajj, and began approaching closer to the original source of God's deen without human insertions, they needed a diversion. They couldn't allow him to continue to unravel and expose the truth, so they killed him in cold blood, thinking that they would hide these proofs. But by his martyrdom, he continued to guide to the path of the true and straight. And his grandson picked up the helm to expel the hidden gems of fate when he realized the true status of Ahlul Bayt. And while, of course, there is always room, and of course, while there is always room for healthy differences, respectful discussion, and debate, we can never forget what Malcolm taught us was at stake. The unity of free humans versus a system of slavery. That we must not lack intelligence, wisdom, or bravery. That we must rise up and free ourselves from our own slavery. That we must not be simplistic and accept corrupt corporate media's lies. That we should know who is the criminal and who are suffering from their crimes. And God forbid. And God forbid that we believe the newspapers and start hating the oppressed and the oppressor we glorify. That we take a stand against them and rise, and more than all, may we not make Malcolm a memory. And more than all, may we not make Malcolm a memory. So let us give homage to him by not making his death simply an anniversary. And more than all, may we not make Malcolm a memory, so let us give homage to him by not making his death simply an anniversary. Not simply an anniversary, but a breeding ground for revolutionaries. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. من قبل از اون که سخنرانی خودم رو شروع کنم، چون امروز سال روز شهادت مالکوم ایکس، رهبر سیاهان مسلمان آمریکاست، از حضار محترم خواهش میکنم حمد و قل هو اللهی برای روح اون شهید بخوانیم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم.
As Imam al-Khamenei had requested, inshallah, if we can all recite Surah al-Fatiha and Surah al-Ikhlas and dedicate the thawab to the pure soul of Shaheed Malcolm X. And inshallah, with that, it's my honor to welcome our dear Sayyid Ali Jafari for the main portion of the program to address us and advise us on this occasion. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. أما بعد, brothers and sisters, friends and enemies, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. Anytime we are commemorating the shahada or the martyrdom of someone we love, of someone who gave everything for us, it's a difficult day. It's a sad day. It's a day to commemorate. It's a day to grieve. But it's also a day of hope. It's also a day to celebrate. It's also a day of victory. It's also a day to remember that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِيَاد. Allah doesn't break His promise. This is what we learn from our shuhada. This is why it's so important for us to remember our shuhada. And for us here in America, I would say there's no shaheed from amongst our modern shuhada more important for us to remember than Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, Malcolm X. And why is that? It's because, brothers and sisters, the story of Malcolm X is the story of being dealt a bad hand. It's the story of making mistakes. It's the story of slipping. It's the story of stumbling. It's the story of falling. It's the story of brushing yourself off. It's the story of picking yourself back up. It's the story of never giving up on yourself. It's the story of courage. It's the story of freedom. It's the story of self-development. It's the story of you. It's the story of me. It's the story of our community. And it's even one day going to be the story of the United States of America. This is why it's so important to remember this shaheed. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take the hand of Detroit Red from Lansing, Michigan, from the streets of Boston and the streets of Harlem, from a life of criminality, from the penitentiary, from a life of ghafla and negligence, if he can take his hand and take him to the Nation of Islam, and take him to the library, and take him to knowing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Salli ala. If he can take him to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, if he can take him to Al-Azhar University, if he can take him to Hajj, and if he can take him to Shahada, the highest of spiritual stations, then he can take you. Then he can take me. Then he can take every single oppressed individual in the penitentiaries of America. He can take him there. It's the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it's so important we focus on this story, focus on this memory of the Shaheed. Like so many of you here in this room, like so many of you maybe watching at home, I was deeply impacted by Malcolm X. I remember as a 18-year-old freshman at Michigan State University, I wasn't happy with the direction of my life. We all make mistakes, brothers and sisters. And I remember taking three names, Dr. King, Malcolm X, and Imam al-Khomeini. And I remember writing them on my wall. And for 1 year, I studied these three people more than I studied political science. And it changed my life. And so when I was reflecting on tonight and this opportunity that I've had, that I have so many years later, to try to offer something back in my own small way to this great Shaheed, I was thinking about what would Malcolm want us to talk about. And I remembered something that I once read in the autobiography of Malcolm X. And I'm going to read it to you here today. It's on page 389. Malcolm X says, "Each day I live as if I am already dead. And I tell you what I would like for you to do when I am dead." He says, I say it that way because from the things I know, I do not expect to live long enough to read this book in its finished form. I want you to just watch and see if I'm not right about this, that the press is going to identify me with hate. Isn't that what happened? Isn't that what continues to happen? Why didn't they ever teach you about Malcolm X in elementary school, middle school, high school? "He will make use of me dead as he made use of me alive as a convenient symbol of hatred. And that will help him to escape facing the truth that all I have been doing is holding up a mirror to reflect, to show the history of unspeakable crimes against my people." Brothers and sisters, Malcolm was keenly aware that he was going to be labeled as a man of hate. And so what I want to do in the next 34 minutes is to label him as a man of love. Malcolm X was a lover. Malcolm X loved himself. Malcolm X loved his people, and Malcolm X loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He loved God. Send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. Now I already know what the cyberspace revolutionaries are going to say to that. They're going to say, "Look at these guys talking about love. Malcolm X, come on, Malcolm X. That's our manhood right there. Malcolm X, he was about overturning systems. Talking about love?" See, brothers and sisters, this is why we don't get anywhere when we want to make change. Because we haven't understood the seerah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the way Malcolm X did. The way even someone who's not even Muslim, a revolutionary, Che Guevara, understood it. When Che said that, "I may sound ridiculous, but I do not know of an authentic revolutionary who doesn't have this characteristic, who doesn't have this quality of love." Number one, Malcolm X, he loved himself. Now you might say, okay, wait a minute, is that good? Is that a good thing to love yourself? We should love other people, yeah. You know, we should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay. But loving yourself? Brothers and sisters, it's natural to love ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that in our fitrah. He's put it inside of us so that we can preserve ourselves, so that we are preserved. But the difference is that as Malcolm grew, his understanding of the self also grew. You see, when he was Detroit Red, hustling, involved in criminality, he understood himself to be this body. And when you understand yourself to be a physical body, and unfortunately, because we live in a society that sees everything on a materialist level and not a spiritual level, even as practicing Muslims, sometimes this happens to us. When you see everything on the material level, you're going to say, okay, well, what's good for my body? I love myself. My body likes the taste of a certain drink or a certain food or a certain action. I'm going to do that. Why? Because when we love ourselves, we don't want to hurt ourselves. We want to help ourselves. But brothers and sisters, as he grew, his understanding of the self also grew. He said, wait a minute. I'm an immaterial soul. I'm going to exist forever. I have a Lord. I came from somewhere. I'm going somewhere. When you love yourself, you don't want to harm yourself. When you love someone, you don't want to harm that person. Now he said, okay, well, what's the worst harm I can do to myself is eternal harm. The worst harm we can do to ourselves, brothers and sisters, is to sin, is to hurt someone's feelings, is to miss that salah intentionally. It's to not control our eyes. Right? So Malcolm X, he understood that. And unfortunately, this is something that we as activists, we still struggle with. We want to go out there and save the world. We're not happy about what's happening in Palestine. We're not happy about what's happening in Flint, in Ferguson. We're not happy about what's happening in Yemen. We're not happy about what's happening anywhere in the world. We want to post. We want to go out and march. We want to get people to vote. Okay, alhamdulillah, all these things have their places. But what Malcolm understood is that you have to work on yourself before you work on others. You have to be sadiq and amin before you go out and start your risala. This is where we're struggling, brothers and sisters. If we want a real political change in this country, not just surface, yeah, you know, somebody comes into office, somebody else goes out of office. No, if we want to be part and parcel of the revolution of Prophet Jesus, of the revolution of Imam Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala, farajah sharif, then it starts right here. It starts inside you. It starts inside Malcolm. You know, Fred Hampton, he was the chairman of the Black Panther Party, and he was assassinated by the FBI in 1969, lying in his bed. And he once said that if you invite a plumber to your house and he shows up with a stethoscope, what are you going to say? You say, hey man, with all due respect, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, you're a doctor. Or maybe you're not a doctor, but he came with the wrong tools for the job. We're trying to get something done here. So what I'm saying today to the activists in the crowd, the activists back at home, is alhamdulillah, you want to make a change for the sake of Allah. You're burning inside because of this oppression that we're seeing, what Malcolm talked about. You see a society that is built to smash people, that is built to destroy people, and then those same people are being blamed when they're unable to bear the burden of that weight. It's upsetting, yes, it should burn you up. But if you want real change, then we have to look at Malcolm X, then we have to look at Amir al-Mu'mineen, then we have to look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and do it the way they did it. So one practical advice on this topic is that, you know, Sheikh Dawood Waleed from Care, Michigan, he's written a nice book called Sacred Activism. I would advise all to pick this up and take a read. And inshallah, something to discuss further with our teachers like Sheikh Osama, may Allah protect him. So this was the first way that Malcolm was a lover, that Malcolm loved himself. The second way that Malcolm X was a lover and not someone that was full of hate the way they try to portray it, was that Malcolm X loved his people. Malcolm X loved his community. Now you say, wait a minute, you know, I love my people, I love my community, what's so special about that? Well, what was special about Malcolm X was that as he grew, his understanding grew, the way that he viewed his community also grew. And this is where we're falling short. And this is where I might hurt some feelings. But that's okay. You know, I get my strength from brothers like Hassan Salami. You know, when I hear that, I'm like, okay, it's okay. The gloves got to come off tonight. Okay, this is where we're failing, brothers and sisters. When we understand the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we understand it, the more we understand the oneness of man. If we see that our masajid, if we see that our gatherings do not reflect the socio-economic, the ethnic, the racial characteristics and makeup of the society in which we live, something's wrong with our tawheed. We're missing something. Let's not kid ourselves. Malcolm X said, you can't be so blind with patriotism that you don't see the truth. Wrong is wrong. Right? I'm paraphrasing. Right? We can't be so blind with our own tribalism, our own sectarianism, our own whatever ism you want to put on it, that we're blind to the truth, that we have a problem in our communities. Malcolm loved his community. When he was a criminal, his community were his people, his boys, his you know, criminal, you know, companions, whatever you want to call them, you know, his people. Okay? That was the people that he loved. But now he's a Muslim. Now he's in the nation first. He's in the nation. Okay, these are my people. Now he's starting to understand the plight of, at that time, 22 million Afro-Americans, 22 million black Americans. Now his perspective on who his people is grows. Now as his tawheed grows, as he accepts Islam, as he says the Shahadatain, now all of the Muslim ummah is his people, and now we see in his writings, you know, there's a book out in the hallway that they're selling. We see in that book where he talks very explicitly about where masajid in America need to be built, about why he thinks he is going to be killed because of the way that he's going to be able to successfully propagate true Islam. Okay? Now we see that his understanding on brothers increases. And as we see him get closer and closer to that pinnacle of spirituality that is Shahada, the status that is conferred upon only the best of the best, we see that his perspective on his people has grown to encompass all of humanity. And this is where he said that it's time for martyrs now. And this is where he said that if I'm to die, it's for the cause of brotherhood, because that's the only thing that can save this United States of America. Has anything changed? Is there another solution? They've tried it for 57 years. They've been trying for other solutions. We see where we're at. It's time for us to wake up, brothers and sisters. Malcolm said that if you are wanting to propagate Islam in America, Islam is about brotherhood and unity. You have to be at the peak and the pinnacle as an example of brotherhood and unity. Is this anything but the words of our messenger? Is this anything but the words of the Holy Quran? تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet to tell those Christians, come to what's common between us and you. But look at our condition, brothers and sisters in the community. He's not walayati enough. He's not Shi'i enough. He's not Muslim enough. He's not on the same, you know, wavelength as a, we find every, you know, he doesn't have the same shoe color as me. You know, he doesn't wear the same, you know, kind of libas. Come on, man. Every excuse that we can make to split ourselves up, we do it. This is not the path of the shuhada. This is not the path of the Ahlul Bayt. This is not the path of the revolution. This is not the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We got to check ourselves. He loved his community. You know, I was, before I went to Qom, you know, for 1 year I was involved in prison da'wah, where we would go with some very sincere brothers and we would meet the best of the best in America, the best creation in America in my mind, as these brothers who had accepted Islam in the Ramsey unit outside of Houston, Texas. And if any of them ever hear this speech, may Allah bless you and elevate you to be alongside the Shaheed. But these brothers, like so many of our black brothers and sisters, when they come into our communities, they're faced with racism. Unfortunately, they accept Islam, thinking they're accepting the Islam of the Holy Prophet, but they come to communities that don't resemble the communities of the Holy Prophet. And of course, I'm here at the Hadi Institute under Sheikh Osama, so I'm not talking about you, beautiful brothers and sisters, but let's keep it real. Right, we've all seen it. We all know what happens in our communities, the racism when it comes to marriage, the racism when it comes to words that are used, the racism where it comes to almost any aspect of our communities. It doesn't even have to be somebody who's considered, quote, black. It can just be somebody with a darker skin tone of the same culture. They might be from the wrong village, you know, from 5 generations ago or 1 generation ago. But we have a serious problem. And so I remember coming to the brothers and sisters, the good brothers and sisters of that particular community, and telling them, hey, look, this is the problem that's often faced by, you know, these particular brothers when they're coming out of the penitentiary. And these are our brothers. We have to do something for them. We have to make sure that we've invited them to an Islam that is a true Islam. And this individual, may Allah forgive them and bless them, they said to me, why would you even want them in your community? Why would you want someone like that in their community? And what I wanted to say then, but I didn't, but I'll say it now, was that, why would we even want you in our community? Honestly. Because there is no them, brothers and sisters. It's only us. They are us. We are them. Until we realize that, we're doing disservice to the Shaheed. We're doing disservice to Amir al-Mu'mineen. We're doing disservice to Rasulullah. We're doing disservice to the Qur'an. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to change? Look at the lights in this room. Do I need to come out here and tell you all, hey, look, let's talk about light. There's a lot of benefit in light. Let me break that down. I'm going to use my next 19 minutes to break down to you the benefit of light. Do I need to do that? Guys are like, come on, man, everybody can see the light. They're benefiting from the light. They know the benefits of light. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heaven and the earth, brothers and sisters. Islam is that light. We just need to turn on Islam. Instead, we're going around propagandizing and propagating, you know, telling people about an Islam that doesn't exist. Today, myself and my teacher Sayyid Adel Mekki, we went to Jum'ah at the Muslim Center in Detroit. And the Khatib there, he had a beautiful example that I'm going to steal from him. And he said that, you know, imagine you have a state-of-the-art fire station. It's like the best fire station ever, you know. You know, my 2-year-old would love it, okay? It's got everything. They're training people. They got the best hoses. They got everything, you know. Best fire stations, what is it, fire trucks, okay? They got the best of the best. And now inside of there, they've got all these, the elite of the elite. They're inside there, they're working on the fire, you know, strategizing, this, that, let's do this, this is how we're gonna handle this kind of fire, this one. And then outside, the whole city is just full of fires. Now, this is our situation right now. We have to have love for our people. There's a reason that you're here in the United States of America. Some people might say, leave the United States of America. Okay, alhamdulillah, that's one perspective. Maybe it's the right choice for some people. But I say where there's blood of shuhada, there's going to be barakah. If we can protect ourselves, then let's take advantage and let's build on it. So we have to love our people, brothers and sisters. We have to show that light. We have to become one ummah in the real sense of the word. Send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And thirdly, and most importantly, so what are we talking about tonight? Okay, if you zoned out, if I bored you up till now, what are we talking about? Okay, we're talking about the fact that people have misconstrued this Shaheed of ours. That people still don't know who he is. Right here in the United States of America. That LeBron James might be reading his book. That Spike Lee might be making a movie about him. That Colin Kaepernick might be wearing Malcolm X shirts, and that's all beautiful in its own way. But for us, as the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, as the followers of the school of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, we have something else that we can offer to this conversation. And that is that Malcolm was not just a revolutionary, not just someone in love with himself, in love with his people, but he was someone in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the verse goes, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَمْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. It says, amongst the people, there are those who have set up partners alongside Allah. They love them the way they love Allah. Their job, their family, their sports team, their ego, their car. They love it the way they love Allah. It's got its place in their life. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. But the believers are those who are serious about their love for Allah. They're deeply in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what's needed to get to shahada. This is what's needed for us to be able to believe in the promise of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِعُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ يُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. They desire to put out the light of Allah with their mouth, with their breath, with their words, with their propaganda, with their social media, with their whatever it is. They want to put out that light of Allah. But Allah is going to what? مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ. He's going to perfect. مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ. He's going to perfect his light, even if the disbelievers don't like it. This blood of Malcolm X, this blood of this Shaheed, is not going to go unnoticed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someday, this land, like every land, will be full of those who are testifying to the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're already on the way there. We're already on the way there. And it will be with the blood of the shuhada like Malcolm X that seed is planted. There's a poem that says, each shaheed, they may bleed. It only plants the fertile seed of the one who surely shall come from the loins of the Prophet's son. Right? Malcolm's blood is a seed, brothers and sisters. And it's that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that allowed him to plant that seed. Because to Malcolm, Allah's pleasure was more important than his own pleasure. He spends a decade building up his following, his masjid, his organization. He's a national spokesman. He's speaking at Oxford. He's speaking at Berkeley. But he finds out that what he was teaching was a lie. He finds out that what he was teaching was not the whole truth. Just imagine, we can't even admit to a small mistake. Our spouse tells us, one of you comes and tells us, he pronounced that word wrong. I say, no, brother, you pronounced that word wrong. We know we hurt someone's feelings, but we can't apologize. That's because we love ourselves more than we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Malcolm wasn't like that. Right there, it's no problem. Yes, everything I've been telling you for the last 10 years, or many things that I've been telling you, not everything, because we definitely all benefit from Malcolm before Hajj, alhamdulillah. But some of the things I was telling you were wrong, they were lies. At the expense of what? At the expense of his reputation, at the expense of his power, at the expense of his prestige, and at the expense of his life. He was willing to. Why? Because his love for Allah was deeper than his love for himself, than his love even for people. He wasn't on stage performing for others. He was on stage for performing for that audience of one. And each and every one of us is on stage every day performing for an audience of one. But do we love that one more than we love ourselves and these undad, these idols? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to perfect his nur, brothers and sisters. So to wrap it up here in the next few minutes, we said today that Malcolm was a man of love. He was a lover. He was a fighter, but he was a lover. It was his love that drove him. It was his love for his people. It was his love for himself. It was his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to tell you something, but I said rather than me say it, it's more effective if it comes from the grandson of Malcolm X. So in 2010, I was sitting in my law firm. I was at my desk when I got a Facebook message from Syria. And the message said, "Assalamu alaikum. My name is Malcolm Latif Chavez. I'm the grandson of Malcolm X. And I need your legal advice." And I said to him, "You know, out of love for your grandfather, I'm at your service." And this started a 3-year friendship between myself and the grandson of Malcolm X, where I learned many, many things. And I say 3 years because in 2013, a few months before I left for the holy city of Qom, I remember coming home from work to find my family in tears at the news that Malcolm Latif had been assassinated. Malcolm Latif once said, he said, "For those of you who are waiting for Malcolm X, you haven't understood him. You haven't understood why he was here. Malcolm X was here to show you that you have the potential to be Malcolm X. That we all have the potential to be Malcolm X. That we are Malcolm X. That our communities can be Malcolm X." A setback is only a setup for a comeback, like we talked about on Wednesday. Brothers and sisters, Malcolm X was on stage giving a speech. When he was introduced on that last day, he was introduced as a man that will die for his people. He came up, and before he could even begin his speech, we see that in front of his family, in front of his wife and children, and two twins that were in the womb, he went back to his Creator. And the beauty of this shaheed is the similarities between himself and Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Because even as Malcolm lay dying and breathing his last breaths, we see that the enemy wouldn't leave him alone. And we see just how madloom he was. The one who was performing CPR on him to try to resuscitate him was none other than an undercover New York City police officer who was actually fishing through the pockets of Malcolm X in order to try to find some more information. SubhanAllah. Look at how they fear true Islam. Brothers and sisters, we have to embody this love. We have to embody the love of Malcolm X if we want to be able to reach that same station. We may not become physical shaheeds, But if we have that same love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise us with our shaheed, inshallah. He will raise us with Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, inshallah. I'll leave you with this story. A man came to Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. He came from Isfahan to Medina, from Iran all the way to Hijaz. And he was disheveled. He was dirty. He was a little roughed up. And he said, "Oh Imam, I came to see you. I came and made this difficult journey out of love for you, and only out of love for you." Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, "If one has love for another, he will be raised with it. Even if it is a rock, if one has love for a rock, he'll be raised with that. If one has love for an imam, he'll be raised with that. If one has love for the shaheed, he'll be raised with that." And then Imam Baqir alayhi salam said what I'm trying to get across here tonight. He said, "Hal ad-din illa al-hub? Is deen anything but love? Is religion anything but love?" But it's this correct understanding of love, brothers and sisters. It's the understanding of the Ahlul Bayt. It's the understanding of Imam al-Khumayni. It's the understanding of our shuhada like Malcolm X, that will allow us to be of those who tread in their path. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the blood of this shaheed Malcolm X, and for the blood of his grandson, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents, to forgive our teachers, and to forgive us for any of our sins. Oh Allah, we ask you for the pure blood of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn to hasten the reappearance of the Imam and to allow us to be his helpers when he comes. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أفلح من أعاد الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. Thank you once again to everybody, and a sincere thank you to Sayyid Ali Jafari, and we thank our Shaheed Malcolm X for his service and his sacrifice, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity to have known this Shaheed. And inshallah, for just a few final announcements as we wrap up. Just a reminder to everybody, inshallah, to follow us on social media, The Light of Guidance, for any updates on further programs. Alhamdulillah, a couple of weeks ago, we were blessed to commemorate the victory of the Islamic Revolution. And today we have been blessed to commemorate the Shahada of Malcolm X. And inshallah, next week, if Allah gives us the tawfiq, we'll be able to commemorate the single greatest day in human history, which is the Ba'tha of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And inshallah, just a reminder as well that out in the front we do have the book that was referenced by our dear Sayyid Ali. It's called The Dead Are Rising. It's available for $20. It's a biography of Malcolm X. It's not the autobiography, but as Sayyid mentioned, it's a very good read. And inshallah, we end with this one verse of Quran that I think we can all agree that Shaheed Malcolm was a beautiful embodiment of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqu allaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Allah says, O you who have faith, be wary of Allah, have taqwa of Allah with the wariness due to Him, and do not die except as Muslims. Muslims in the sense of true, sincere submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever that entails. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us follow in the footsteps of the Shaheed. And thank you again to everybody. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك